We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Davis Donovan, and one way I say thank you is by covering regional news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom, and reporting from NPR and the BBC, we're expanding our world together.
Save the Sound has released its annual bacteria monitoring season report for Western Long Island Sound. And for the second year, it's seen overall failure rates drop. The Environmental Action Group collected 745 water samples from 66 locations from Greenwich in Connecticut to Nassau County in New York. Peter Lindroth is director of Healthy Waters and Lands at Save the Sound and said, while the news is good, it can always be better.
When you think about this type of bacteria, I mean, human activities, you know, again, not just literally flushing the toilet, but development across the board. I mean, it's really important to be smart about development. You know, population growth is going to occur, no doubt about it. But as things are developed, you know, limiting impervious coverage increases, you know, going for mixed zoning, for example, where possible, and definitely making sure that that extra wastewater is being treated properly, absolutely critical to a healthy Long Island Sound.
Only three swimming locations went the entire 2025 season without a failing sample. They were Glen Island Park in New York and Greenwich Cove and Indian Harbor Yacht Clubs, both in Greenwich. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut Democrats are expected to pass all the items on the special session agenda today. Long Island's independent turnout rose 20% this election cycle. A Suffolk judge greenlights a civil lawsuit over the estate of a Gilgo Beach victim. Plus, meet a group of teens keeping an old Connecticut tradition alive. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut lawmakers returned to the state capitol today to vote on whether to use $500 million of the state's surplus to backstop federal social service cuts. The House Republican leader supports the move but says he has reservations about other items on the agenda. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
One of the other items is a revised version of a controversial housing bill that Governor Ned Lamont vetoed in June. Vincent Candelora is the House Republican minority leader. He says the revised bill worries the supporters of local zoning control.
The Department of Housing has now been given the authority, the state, to develop any state land that they choose for housing, and they become the de facto statewide housing authority. It is a complete opposite philosophy of home rule.
Another bill would ban masked ICE agents. Candelora says it would make it more dangerous for ICE agents to work in Connecticut.
The thought now that they're going to demask these individuals and subject them to doxing and put their lives at risk is reprehensible.
The majority Democrats expect to pass all the items on the special session agenda. They also have the support of Democratic Governor Lamont. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
While more Democrats across Long Island voted in this election cycle than 4 years ago, it wasn't enough to stop Long Island's red wave. WSHU's Aiden Stang reports that might be due to independent voters.
Going into this election, Democratic voters faced a political landscape dominated by Republican victories. In reaction, voter turnout among registered Democrats rose from 27% in 2021 to 32% in 2025, while Republican turnout dipped slightly. While elections like Nassau County Executive were narrow Republican victories 4 years ago, unaffiliated votes who went for the Republican candidate this time around helped the GOP dominate on Long Island. Independent turnout rose to 20% this election cycle, and unlike other places across the nation, those voters leaned Republican. Aiden Stang, WSHU News.
Amtrak announced this week it has indefinitely canceled three trains on the Hartford line. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish has more.
Amtrak said the trains were canceled because of the unavailability of some equipment. The company said it would provide bus transportation as an alternative. Those buses would make all scheduled stops. The Valley Flyer train, which travels from New Haven to Massachusetts, has also been canceled. That train makes stops in Wallingford, Meriden, and Hartford. Amtrak says passengers can rebook for the next available train. Amtrak said it is continuing to work on projects to improve infrastructure on its Northeast Corridor, including in Connecticut. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Hunting has declined in popularity in Connecticut over the years, but environmental officials are now teaching teens the old tradition. That story is coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
WSHU has tickets to give away to see Sarah Brightman, A Winter Symphony, at Mohegan Sun Arena on Saturday, November 29th. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster, but you can win a pair right now. Winners will be chosen from all entries received at WSHU.org by midnight tonight.
Connecticut residents could catch another glimpse of the Northern Lights tonight as a strong geomagnetic storm continues. Forecasters say a series of solar eruptions may make the aurora visible much further south than usual. Parts of New England with clear skies and low light pollution will give stargazers the best chance to see them. A new audit from the New York State Comptroller's Office found more than $10 million in Medicaid overpayments caused by a billing code and documentation error. The review says state officials failed to flag incorrect claims between 2020 and 2024. The health department says corrective measures are underway. Police in the Lower Connecticut River Valley say they've seen a spike of overnight car break-ins and thefts across Old Saybrook, Westbrook, Clinton, and Deep River. Officers say many of the targeted cars were left unlocked. One car that was stolen from Deep River was later found all the way in West Hartford. A federal jury has ordered Suffolk County to pay $112 million to hundreds of immigrants who were unlawfully detained at the request of ICE. The jury found county officials violated constitutional rights by holding people in jail after they should have been released. This case covers more than 600 people held in 2017. A Suffolk County judge has greenlit a civil lawsuit over the estate of Shannon Gilbert. Authorities discovered several murder victims near Gilgo Beach as they searched for the missing woman. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Gilbert's family members sued a doctor from Oak Beach back in 2012. They claim Charles Peter Hackett was with Gilbert on the night she went missing near Ocean Parkway and gave her medical treatment. Hackett has denied the claims. Her family is suing Hackett for emotional distress, hindering the search efforts, and medical malpractice. Gilbert has long been associated with the Long Island serial killer case since she was discovered near those victims, but her death has been ruled accidental. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Hunting has been on the decline in Connecticut for more than a decade. What was once a common scene in hunting circles, kids going out on the weekends to shoot with their dads, is happening less often. Older hunters say kids are spending more time indoors and that guns are getting a bad rep, but there are some kids keeping the hunting tradition alive. The New England News Collaborative's Anya Pinello joined a group of teens and tweens for a hunt, and please note, this story contains the sound of gunshots.
20 minutes from the highway, off an old dirt road in northwest Connecticut, dozens of people are milling about in bright orange hats and vests, getting ready to hunt pheasants. There's bacon on the grill, a place to practice target shooting, and plenty of birds to hunt. But the hunters are not the big burly guys you might be picturing.
As a kid, I would say I'm decently experienced.
That's Garrett Zagurski. He's 14.
But like, if we're talking about hunters who've been around 20, 30 years, I know nothing compared to them.
Today's hunters are all children. Every year, the state of Connecticut puts on a series of training days just for kids, where they learn to hunt different animals. The goal? To promote gun safety and to get more kids excited about hunting. Today, it's all about pheasants.
Okay, so getting in a shooting position.
Zagurski does a couple of practice shots with an instructor.
Let me know when you're ready to fire.
An orange clay target whizzes through the air. And Zagurski takes aim. After a few more practice shots, the instructor asks Zagurski if he's ready for the real thing.
Hell yeah.
All right. Okay, guns unloaded, safety's on.
Yep.
Okay, let's take a walk.
Zagurski, his dad, and the instructor make their way up a hill to a cage full of pheasants. Because the birds are not native to the area, the state provides them to gun clubs across Connecticut. The state will even loan guns and ammunition to kids who are brand new to hunting.
Ask my wife. I've been up since 3 o'clock. This is like Christmas morning for me. I get that excited.
That's Chris Campbell with the Harwinton Rod and Gun Club. He's been teaching kids to hunt for almost a decade, but says fewer and fewer people are interested now due to stuff like phones and school sports. And he says lots of people are also getting turned off by guns.
Because of what happened at Sandy Hook, which is a terrible thing. And a lot of people have preconceived ideas, whereas this is a very safe environment and you're actually, you know, you're practicing safety and you're learning a lot about people and nature.
In Connecticut, there are about 400 kids ages 12 to 15 with a license to hunt. Zagurski is one of them, but he doesn't know any kids his own age who do it. He doesn't really talk to his friends about it either.
Oh, to be honest, I usually don't tell them, and if I do, they either really don't understand what I'm saying about it, or they don't care. It's kind of weird, yeah.
Back at the hill with the pheasants, Zagurski meets a team of trainers. They guide him through a field where the two birds he's hunting are hidden. Penny, the hunting dog, is with Zagurski, wearing a bell around her neck.
Go on, find a bird.
So we still got a little ways to go, but she already smells her. Mm-hmm.
After a couple of yards of bramble and grass, Penny finds bird number one. Zagurski gets into position. A trainer opens the launcher remotely, and the bird flies up. Tiny tufts of feathers fly through the air while Penny runs to get the bird.
Good girl! Good girl!
Then it's on to bird number two. This time, Penny stays next to the bird. It's closer to real-life hunting, and the stakes are also higher. Zagurski needs to be careful where the bird goes so he doesn't accidentally hit Penny.
If it stays low, you do not shoot, okay? Mm-hmm. We want it,
good height, yeah.
Above head height, all right? Plenty of room to work with.
Zagurski pauses and takes aim.
Safety on.
Penny brings back the bird, and the trainers congratulate Zagurski.
Good job, Garrett.
Thank you, sir.
Great bird.
Woo.
Back at the bottom of the hill, Chris Campbell waits for each kid and takes photos of them next to a sign that says Pheasant Lane.
You gotta hold your birds, maybe hold your gun.
The kids struggle to pull out the small birds from a pocket in their vest. 12-year-old Evan McMaster grins, and the kids hold up the birds, one in each hand.
This was actually a lot of fun.
Good. Are you going to come back and see me next year?
Yeah,
totally. All right, man. Good deal.
There may not be enough kids to replace the older hunters aging out of the sport, but for the kids here today on Pheasant Lane, it's a start. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Anya Pinillo.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And for even more from this station, Instagram is the place to be. We're easy to find. We are at WSHU Public Radio. Looking forward to connecting with you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.